Thad Jones, I should say, on trumpet, Kenny Burrell on guitar, Paul Chambers on bass, Arthur Taylor on drums, Frank West on tenor, sax, and flute, Mal Waldron on piano, and all of them with Count One. It's from Thad Jones' 1957 album, After Hours. By the way, Thad Jones, as you might suspect, is one of the great Jones brothers of jazz, Elvin, Eddie, and Hank, making up the four famous brothers. This is Lead Stories. I'm Beatrice Lead. Jeez, I don't know where things are going. You know, I need some kind of a guide to tell me where things are going in this country. It seems as if we are witnessing a kind of demise in America, if you will. Many would contend it is both false and unpatriotic to suggest that the United States of America is in a state of crisis. Has martial law been declared? They would say no. The answer is no. Is there a run on the banks? No. Is food being rationed? No. So then, what is this talk about crisis? The United States, like any other developed country, they say, isn't immune to setbacks and downturns and similar effects that we find in the global economy. And comparatively speaking, they say, Americans enjoy a very far better way of life than most people in the world. Yet polls are showing deep divisions among Americans about the direction of the country, racial polarization, class consciousness, economic opportunity, and hot-button issues such as immigration and access to strategic resources such as education, housing, and health care. Somehow, President Trump and his administration and the social, political, and economic tenor of our times generally have come to symbolize the deep divisions America is experiencing that are pushing the nation toward implosion. Now, some people would say that is a gross exaggeration. It's way off base. It is the typical rantings of the left blaming the right for having to implement tough measures to pull us all through. But in fact, I can't get it out of my head that the times that we are in are pretty serious. And I'm getting more and more concerned that what we should be seeing as leadership, both in the White House and in Congress, and at the state and city levels, we don't seem to have a fix on exactly where we ought to go and what we ought to do and how we ought to get there. It's a lot of people are peddling, but we're not moving. And certainly we're not moving coherently in any particular direction, except, it seems, in a chaotic downward spiral. The feeling also is, and this is very American, to believe that we are beyond disaster. We are beyond chaos. We are beyond things going really, really wrong. That went on in the 1920s. That was the Depression era. And look, we pulled out of it. So even if we're feeling a bit despondent because it's the nature of politics, they tell us, you know, there are ways to fix things. And sooner or later, we'll come around and we'll fix things and we'll move ahead. Somehow it's just not, it's not sitting well with me. I do believe that although people are insisting that things are okay, we are having our typical internal squabbles, and we are having some problems with our president, but they're not at the point where we ought to worry. I mean, we have a constitution after all, and we have a Congress, and we have elected officials. So what is this obsession about worrying and worrying about the demise of America? I still ask the question, what do you think, what do you feel at this time about the country, the state of affairs in the country? Are you okay with it? Are you worried? Are you concerned? Are you feeling confident somehow that whatever is going wrong, it won't go wrong for much longer? And in any event, being American means you're a solver of problems, and the country has been through perilous times before, and it has summoned up the courage and the creativity and whatever else is needed to get through it, and so will we. Are you believing that? Are you thinking, though, that there is a reason to be worried? I'd be interested in, if that is the case with you, what are you worrying about? And are you feeling okay with the idea that whatever it is that you're worried about, you have a solution? You can see your way toward a solution. You could head it off at the pass in your own way. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And the reason we're talking about it is that, you know, whenever things are getting ready to really go south, you look at the tone of coverage, media coverage, and they're telling you something, but they're not spelling it out. They are also concerned about what's going on in the country. After all, they're covering it. They could at least put a name to some of the things that they worried about. But that does not apply to the population in general. We are accustomed to being told what the problem is. And likewise, we're accustomed to looking to somebody for the answers, somebody other than ourselves. What's the state of affairs with you and the tone and the general messages that you are getting at this time about the state of affairs in this country, and whether you feel reasonably okay that even though it looks bad, and maybe you think it doesn't look that bad, but you are reasonably comfortable with the idea that you can cope with whatever comes at you. So that's the question. Are we witnessing America's demise? Do we feel that we are able to do anything to change its course or direction? That's the question on the table today. 888-874-4888 is a number. I want you to get as close as you can to some concrete answers. Let's not deal with theory today. Let's get as close as we can to what you feel your reality is in answering this question. Are you feeling a sense of chaos, that everybody's doing something different, that we don't have a coordinated plan, and we're not able to see ourselves out of it because so much is wrong all at the same time and at great speed? We can't keep up. And there seems to be less and less and less room for us, the people, to participate in this particular question. How we see things and how we see possible solutions. Ma'at, you get us started today. You're on the air.
Yes, greetings to the beloved family and you, Trees. We would love you so much. We're looking for you to find either Gary or a holistic remedy so that you're not in any pain, because we need you very, very much. We love you dearly deeply.
I'm not in that pain anymore. I've coasted out of it.
That's such good news. And it's such an excellent question, and I hope that there'll be periods where it continues, because it really gets to the heart of things, where it's a type of existential issue that we're dealing with. I heard Jeremiah on another program say, well, you know, we're seeing all of this, but what's the point, and when does it? And he was basically talking about all the corruption that, you know, is the meaning of Donald Trump being president. But yes, it in so many ways is scary times, because we don't even, it's so existential that we don't even know what this all means and where it's going. However, we must stay solution oriented, doing our thing, in spite of the fact that when you try to, there's something going on with black people. I don't know whether it's the result of seeing this type of demise, but trying to connect with the brothers and sisters these days, because I'm looking to do an innovation circle of new products, new ideas, new systems. It's like herding cats. So that's sort of a separate and apart issue that we must deal with. We're very, very discombobulated as a community, no question. I want to give a little history. When Donald Trump was elected, I wound up not being able to get out of bed for 2 or 3 weeks. I guess a depression was coming on. But at some point, you know, you shake yourself, you get over it, and you realize that, you know, from a Taoist point of view, that you can detach yourself, you can move away from the confusion, the chaos, the baby man, the pathological liar, the corruption et al. And so that's where I am right now, and there are solutions.
But to what problems? What could you identify as, you know, some critical problems or critical concerns that you think you share with many others?
Well, it's not like this came out of nowhere. So for some time now, and particularly on September 11, 2001, one of the problems is Donald Trump is the most unconscious person around that. You know, his Muslim translated into a travel van with these extreme right Supreme Court justices. This has been going on for a long time in terms of a neoliberal system where certain people, you know, corporations and the wealthy continue to create a system of such inequality that the South and people of color are almost considered disposable right now.
Well, not just people of color. I think people who are poor, working poor across the board. I think that is a pervasive feeling that they don't have access to any systems that they can use to change the direction of things. The parties that they used to look to as an alternative or in some ways for direction, the Democrats have fallen down on the job. The progressives have whittled themselves away. And we're not seeing, maybe we just have to, you know, the very high hopes, but, and we are being unrealistic given the way politics works. But I do find that I'm meeting more and more people who are very, very concerned, and you can hear it in their voices. You can hear it, you can hear the fear. It's like they know there's some, a bomb that's going to go off. They just don't know when and where. But they're primed. They're very tense. I'm picking that up a lot more than I ever did in the recent past. So it means that people are on edge. Many, many people are on edge. Not all of us, but many people are on edge. And there is a growing feeling that it is not government by the people for the people. It is government against the people, government just basically aimed at the people. And the purpose of government even has changed. The purpose of government being felt as, you know, a thieves' convention. Let's see how much we can rip off before we get out of here. Mm-hmm. So it's a very tough time. Do you feel, personally, do you feel comfortable with where you are in terms of effecting any kind of change at all?
Oh yes. And I think one of the positive things that could come from this era is that we need to realize that the system with the Democrats and the Republicans, Jesse Ventura compared them to the Crips and the Bloods. You know, to me, the solution is for us to look at a system that has been a failure for decades, if not longer. So I always see the glass as half full. And let me just make this last comment around the poor and the working class, so-called white people, because that's an engineered status code definition, is, you know, I was seeing how the farmers who voted for Trump are talking about the bind that they're in because of the tariffs and they don't want aid. But the irony is to me that, you know, they fail to see the larger picture. So when you vote for someone who's a pathological liar, a baby man, if not a child man, and, you know, doesn't know his front from his back, you're going to have some repercussions yourself. So that's my last point.
All right. Thank you for calling in and getting us started today. 888-874-4888. The question we are addressing today, or attempting to address today, is for your own self, do you get a feeling that we are at a point where we just don't quite know what to do? The systems that we traditionally have trusted have betrayed us. We're not quite sure about what the future holds. We know that we don't like what exists, but we don't have working alternatives. We just don't have that yet. So where does that leave us? Except in a constant state of worry about our future, our collective future. Are you feeling that, or are you feeling something else? Do you feel like many people are saying it's not the best of times, but it is life. Life is about cycles, ups and downs, and we are blessed as human beings to cope with adversity. And maybe we have had more adversity than we are accustomed to handling, but there's no reason to be despondent and give up hope, that there is some thing that we can do. I'm asking you the question, what is that something? If you are feeling that as bad as things are, you can cope and you could ride it through, what is it that you're leaning on to ride it through? It's a simple question, but it's a very difficult answer, I'm imagining. Khalil from South Carolina, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you. How are you?
I'm hanging. So, yeah, you know, many people in my circle are worried because of a number of things, and mainly because we feel like any type of dissent will soon be stifled.
I think we lost you.
Are you there?
Yes. Could you repeat it? We lost you there for a minute.
Okay. I said
you said many people in your circle, and then you dropped out for a minute.
That's interesting. Yeah. Feel like, you know, even dissent will soon be, even under Obama, dissent, there was an assault on dissent. In other words, protests and things like that, where barriers were set up. And the way things are going, it seems like all our systems are broken. Congress is not doing anything. They're not asserting themselves for whatever reason. That's a whole nother, I'm not going to go off on a tangent. So, yes, we are, a lot of people that I deal with are worried because we see where this could go. We are moving into uber fascism quickly.
Mm.
And I would say this. This is one example. And the thing is, there's a whole group of people who see the exact opposite. I listen to people, some people who don't agree with me, who, you know, have a different mindset than I do. And they think things are going great. The stock market is up. And optimism's up, I'm talking about a certain demographic, and they say, well, you know, Black and Hispanic unemployment is the lowest it's ever been, and, you know, just everything is great. I don't know what you're worried about, you know. And I look at what's going on, I see it. It's like we're in a house of mirrors or something, and I'm seeing something totally different. Like I have.
What are you seeing?
I'm seeing horror and destruction. I'm saying we're on a war footing. We have incompetent people. We have no leadership, number one, as you alluded to. Absolutely. We have no, I don't understand. Do you know who our leadership is now is a foreign entity? We have no leadership. And it's amazing. Look at these farmers now. Now they're getting welfare, $12 billion worth of welfare on top of the subsidies they already get. And I'm not really trying to get into the weeds. I'm really trying to focus on answering your question. The reason that me and other folks that I deal with are worried, concerned, is that we're not seeing any pushback. We only see pushback when people are about to retire from Congress. You know, which to me it leads to more questions. So why we have folks retiring at the top of their career. You know, what were they involved in that would interfere with all the baubles and gold balls and whatnot you get at being at the top of your career in Congress? You know, I don't know, are people asleep or they're not paying attention? Because I want to go quickly, and I think it says a lot. You go back to that quote-unquote summit, that there was no reason for that period. There was not a summit. It was a meeting. And folks, let's remember, 4th of July holiday, 7 Republican congressmen were summoned to Russia. They went to Russia. Russia. 4th of July, fireworks, hot dogs, bratwurst, beer in America. They went to Russia. Now, the president...
Accepting this as the situation that we're experiencing collectively, are you accepting this as just the rigors and the normal, you know, ebb and flow of politics? And, you know, this is the way it works. And that even if we feel a bit, as you said, you're worried about it, it's going to pass. This too shall pass. Do you feel like that?
No, this is different. We thought it was different with W. Bush, but this is totally different because we have a Congress now that is not acting appropriately. And I would like you to ask our friend Charles Hertel about explaining the importance of the emoluments clause because he's a financial forensic type person. See, there's a lot. It's something else. It's something, and we're just being taken along for a ride at this point, the American people. And no, so things are not going well at all. There is no agreement with North Korea. We have these silly tariffs. We have even now, congressmen are speaking forward, speaking out. These tariffs. Trump is ruminating. He's stuck, and now he already has mental illness, but now the dementia, as you alluded to, is kicking in. And it's not a good look, and it leads to terrible decisions. See, he's stuck in the 80s and the 70s. Remember when Buy America was a big thing? There's nothing wrong with that, except that our economy, the world's economy, is not on that footing anymore. That's done. That's over. When you buy a car made in America, it has parts from everywhere. It takes a lot to get trade going properly and smoothly. It's a lot. It's like making a watch. You know, you can't let some guy body go in there and just start fiddling with things and But see, I'm sorry, I'm getting off on a tangent. I want to answer your question.
You did all right. Now here's this. Do you in your own sphere? Are you changing anything? Are you changing up your attitudes? Are you changing up the way you do things in light of the way you feel?
Yes.
What are you doing?
I'm amassing canned goods, canned vegetables, beans, things of that nature. Because the way I see it, if Trump gets his way where he's going, the dollar will be devalued just totally. We'll be, you know, it's a $10 economy now. It'll go down to 5 or 7, you know, and in the interim, there'll be a very disruptive period. You know, something like a bank holiday.
You're not buying the sell that we may be going through a rough time, but the nation hasn't fallen apart. And, you know, we may not like where we are, but we'll get through it because of American ingenuity and all of the other good stuff that they tell us about.
We may not get through it. This administration is stretching the rules. They've got, and the key is, you see, it's about the courts. Our country runs on the courts. This started years ago with inserting folks in the courts in their proper positions, because there are going to be some decisions that come up that are going to have to be bounced up to the Supreme Court. And now we're in a precarious position. So, and I don't want to sound all freaky, like, but I'm serious about canned goods, and that's good anywhere. You know, even if you don't eat meat, if you eat meat, get some canned chili. If you don't eat meat, mix it up. You know, if you're an omnivore, just do what you got to do. But tomatoes, okra, beans, you know, things with water, it can't hurt. And then, you know, rotate them. You know, you can always use it. There's some really good canned vegetables out there. And I'm not trying to sound alarmist, but we have to accept the fact that there is a mentally unstable and compromised person and other folks. Because you have to look at who's surrounding this person. Some of these people are far right-wing dominionist Christians. They want to see some type of battle. You know, Betsy DeVos and her brother, keep an eye on that. I'm sorry. I respect your program and your direction. I don't want to drift.
No, I'm listening to what you're saying. You're saying some very profound things that we all need to hear. Well, you put some good things on the table. Let's see who reacts to you today. Thanks, Khalil, for your call and contributing. 888-874-4888. Do you believe that we are beginning to witness America's demise? Do you believe that there's something that you and I can do together to change direction or to change the outcome, the planned outcome, for the vast majority of people? Is it bothering you where we are as a nation? Or do you accept that this is just the way the world works? Politics is just a mess, and we have to be prepared for all kinds of things to go on in the political realm, and therefore we shouldn't be unduly alarmed. This is just politics working its way and having its way with us, but there is no need to be alarmed. We are not exceptional in this regard. All other nations in one way or the other experience crisis from at one time or the other. And this is just the latest. We've been through crises before, and we have come through, but we shouldn't be alarmed, and we shouldn't be desperate. We shouldn't be overly obsessed with the notion that things are falling apart. That we should take it for what it is, work on a parallel plan for our survival, and at the same time not become despondent, not despair about what is going on. What are you thinking? How are you feeling about your country at this time? How are you feeling about yourself in the context of what is happening in the country? Henry from Chicago, you're on the air.
Hey, Trish, how's it going?
Okay, how's about you?
Oh, hanging in there.
Good.
In regards to the question at hand, I think, I guess from my perspective, the country is falling apart, but you know, I believe that process happened years ago. We're just witnessing another phase of the country falling apart. And I think as a people, we haven't grasped the reality of what is, you know, what really is happening, because I think too many of us are still in that place where, you know, well, it's not affecting me too much, so I don't have to worry about it. So I think not too many of us are, you know, in that place right now. But, you know, if you're politically insightful, like, you know, you and the other people that, you know, listen to you, we see that there is something going on, even though it might not be affecting us directly. But at the same time, we're, you know, too many of us are just too comfortable right now.
You really think too many of us are comfortable? Or is it that we are in a state of denial? We're seeing what's happening and we feel overwhelmed by it, and we just don't see how we can face up to the realities that we are seeing. We feel overwhelmed.
Well, let me rephrase that. Okay, so I don't say that we're, like me myself, I don't feel that I'm comfortable, but I'm not at a point right now where, I just speak for me myself personally, I'm not at a point right now where my life is being wrenched away from me, not yet, but I see it coming. And there are points, that there are some things in my life where I do see it, but it's not to the point where I have to do something to, you know, give up my life, give up my, you know, give up, you know, give up my family and whatever to, you know, join or start a revolution. Because, and I remember a couple of years ago, somebody had corrected me on that in regards to a revolution, because we're not at a point right now where a lot of people are in that mindset yet. You know, we're not at a point where this is our last resort, where we have to, you know, we have to do something about it. And, you know, if you see different revolutions in history, people are at the point where there's nothing left. You know, there's nothing absolutely left to do but to fight. And so, you know, I don't think most of us aren't at that point right now where there's nothing left to do but to fight.
So where exactly do you place yourself on this timeline here?
Well, I place myself at a point where I'm not at that point yet, but I see it coming, and I see people very close to me who are at that point. So it is to the best of my interest to do something about that. But, you know, the thing is that a lot of people in my position don't see it because it's not technically happening to them. So just like with the last caller, you know, who, you know, suggested buying canned goods and everything, there should be a preparation stage. You know, in particular, like me, I should be preparing for this, and people that are in my position should be preparing for this as well.
Well, you know, this is quite eye-opening. And I'll tell you why. Because every day we go about our business with all these unexpressed fears, and we adjust to that as being normal. This is normal, our normal existence. We are in a state of extreme stress, and we are stressed out because we don't feel that we have the wherewithal to redirect things, to command things to move in a different way. We don't have the power, we don't have the clout, we don't have the influence. So in many ways, we are quietly in a state of quiet desperation. You just said it. You see it coming. And I don't think that that is a rare feeling at all. I think there are millions of people similarly situated, but we don't know what to do, and we dare not speak of it, that we have these fears. So the fact that you just said that literally, you know, just blew everything wide out into the open. We should at least admit that we are, I use the word concern, but actually we have fears about our future, our collective future. We have concerns about whether the next generation, what would happen to them and the generation after that. These are things that are on our minds every day that we don't talk about.
Yes, and that was the thing that I was about to say in regards to our, you know, the next generation coming up. And one of the things, too, before I go, one of the things that woke me up to this, I saw a documentary in regards to it was a documentary in regards to the Chinese Exclusion Act and how the Chinese had to basically kind of band together because of the fact that, you know, they were being, you know, they were literally being discriminated and basically being, you know, racially terrorized, you know, and everything like that. And it forced them to work together. So this is why the Chinese right now are in a position where they are now, because they were forced to work together. And I think, you know, it's at a point right now where we have to be forced to work together.
Well, some deep thoughts that you shared with us today, Henry. Let's see what people are thinking. But thank you very much for your contribution. Bill from Mount Vernon, you're on the air.
Hi, Yatrice. Glad to hear you're feeling better.
Thank you.
First, my pleasure. First, a word about the canned thing. All the nutritionists will tell you that canned food is terrible for you. I mean, it's better than no food, but not much better. If you listen to Gary Noel and the rest of the health people, they will tell you about that canned food thing. But on to the topic of the day. Yes, I have a terrible feeling of doom, and I feel that I have achieved about as much as I can achieve. I mean, no, I'm not going to go that far. But I'm just saying that I'm in a pretty decent situation for a black man in America, I guess in the world for that much. I mean, we always have this impending doom thing. I think the only thing different is that now the white folk have the same thing we have. I mean, it used to be a time when you just have this doom thing from, like, black intellectuals, but, you know, we whispered about it. But now everybody is talking about the doom and what brought it on. First of all, the thing that brought it on is the Internet. We have so much knowledge now that we can look up anything pretty much and find out about it. And this tells us just how precarious the situation is. We are all in this boat without a paddle, all of us. I mean, everybody from any kind of economic circumstances, we know that the banks are too big to fail, but they're failing, and they're going to fail again. And this is a cyclical thing. And all the European countries, they're all catching hell. I mean, there's wars all over the place. There's no safe place. So basically, the only thing that I do for this, I try to keep a spiritual balance. So I make it a point, Deepak Chopra and Our Lady, what's her name? Oh, I'm blanking on the big lady, Oprah. They have this monthly Oprah meditation thing. So I follow that all the time. And meditation does really help you, particularly when you're in a situation where there are no answers. Now, this is not the first time that there were no answers in life. I mean, the slaves always had no answer, and they survived. Coming to America, they had no safety, and they survived. So this, too, will pass one way or the other, or we'll be gone. But that's the thing. There's nothing we can do about it. I mean, we do the best that we can, but the best that we can nowadays, just like back in the old days, is really not good enough. And so we have, like, this situation where Trump is in the seat. But he made things worse because he made us realize that there's nobody in control. See, at first we thought at least that the police were in control, the FBI were in control, the CIA. Nobody's in control because they can't do a damn thing about Trump. Now, if there was anybody in control, they'd be stopping this guy. Or they would have stopped him before. There is no one in control. So that's my sorry contribution to this whole thing there today.
So you think that that in itself should be a comfort, that we should just resign ourselves to the reality that nobody's really in control here. People are just making it look like they're in control. But aren't they, in fact, in control?
No, they're not. I mean, who is in control of the banks? If there's somebody in control, we don't know it. Because, I mean, I look at the internet all the time. I've studied this thing as far as it can be studied. There's no one in control. I mean, when we thought there were people in control, what was that big bank that failed out there and went down? And they saved all the other banks, and the first one, they let that guy go.
Mm.
He was in the money market thing and the real estate, the whole bit. I forget the name. He was the smallest of all those banks. They let him go. This guy thought he had it made. They thought that they would never go down, but they did sacrifice that guy. So the next time something happens, and it will happen, listen to all the experts, they're going to sacrifice maybe two, because all of the people were angry. They're about to rebel. They had to give something to the wolves. So nobody knows when it's going to be their number.
But while no one is in control, some still have the ability to call the shots for others. They actually do have an inordinate amount of influence for people who are not, quote, in control, unquote.
Here's the problem, Yatrice. The guy who has the most control is Donald Trump. He has his finger on the button, so they tell me. And nobody has control of Donald Trump because he doesn't have control of himself. Who has control of Donald Trump?
Trump has no control of himself.
Exactly.
Well, I think the Russian oligarchs have control of Donald Trump, as we will see shortly.
No, listen, the Russian oligarchs, they don't, no one knows what Trump is going to do next, not even Trump. He's totally wild. He's, like you said, he's off his rocker.
You will be our last caller today. Oh, there's Bill again. Well, we will see. But the main thing is, I don't think, and in fact, this is what I was thinking that was very innovative in what you said, developing a consciousness, just to say.
Yes.
About our state of affairs. And even if we have no control, we might just have some kind of control if we take the business of control, if we get to it differently.
Absolutely.
You know, we have control over how we spend our money. You have control over, you know, what bank you use. You have control over the condition of your block. There are lots of things that we do control, but we never stop to think, in fact, that we have some say in sometimes very critical areas of our lives, but we look to others to tell us. And to exercise control. The question is, will these times that we are experiencing force us out of that bad habit and force us to adopt new ways of operating within our own power?
My answer is no. I mean, we knew that the banks were too big to fail, and we let them fail. We're letting them fail again. And the folk who made it fail were not the people in control. The people out of control made it fail because they're still getting these big loans they can't afford. They're buying houses they can't afford. They're going on vacations they can't afford. So we're all in this big gambling. We're all in a big casino. And everybody's guilty.
Interesting thought. Thank you for bringing that to our attention today. E from Edgewater, you're on the air. You have just a little bit of time, I'm afraid.
Thank you, Yatrice. I'm glad to hear you're feeling better.
Thank you.
I have to disagree with the I agree about the canned food stuff, but if you get organic food in cans, they have a little better cans without the lead linings and stuff. Just thinking about stockpiling food, best to get the organic ones. And as far as nobody's in control, I think we're really under control more than we've ever been before in history. Everything is going just like the rich want it to go. And we're just thinking it's out of control because that's what they want us to think. They want us to be all confused and mixed up. And before we can analyze anything and get our finger on anything, there's new things coming up every day. We're being flooded with information, flooded with things happening. And there's just, that's why we feel like there's no control. But they have everything under control. Everything's going the way they want it to go. That's the way I see it.
As far as you are concerned personally, what are you feeling about the moment that we're in, historically, the moment that we're in?
I'm feeling very, very nervous about it. But as far as the United States goes, I think we need to be more concerned about the environment, what's going on. If you live in the South, you're worried about being terrorized by hurricanes. If you're living in the West, you're getting fires like crazy and earthquakes. If you're in the middle of the country, you got terrible tornadoes. And if you're on the East Coast and you're in the East, you're inundated with snowstorms, ice storms. So the United States, they're taking care of us with the weather. In the other countries, they're taking care of them by exterminating people, moving them all around. So, yeah, we're in a very difficult time right here. And for as far as the people in the United States, we have to worry about, are we in the right place to live? Is Florida going to be around anymore after the next 2 years? We have to start planning to find places to go. And Gary Null's trying to help us, but it's also overwhelming is the word. I feel that we're all feeling overwhelmed here. And we used to be able to get back on track, but now they have us in a place, and it's really hard to think like this.
Well, that's a very, very important word, the feeling of being overwhelmed by the challenges we face. It certainly is the first time we face challenges. So the question is, why do we feel particularly overwhelmed now? Just not too long ago, we weren't harboring these feelings. So why do you think we're feeling overwhelmed now?
I think because, you know, our leaders are appearing to be totally insane, and we can't deal with that kind of thing. They used to keep it hidden up. Richard Nixon was probably 100 times more insane than Trump, but they kept it hidden. And things were, because they need us, they don't care anymore if we know. The Clintons don't care if we know about what they've done with their charities and all the women that he's raped. They don't care anymore. They're putting it right out in our face. And this is what's confusing us so much, that all this corruption is going on and there's nobody doing anything about it, because all the forces that were supposed to do something about it are all in on it. And it's all being, it's because they don't need us anymore. We're obsolete. They have machinery and robots, and the technology is getting greater and greater as I'm speaking. And soon, so at one time, when they were organizing to have an empire, they needed people to build cities and metropolises and bridges and tunnels and all the dams and all these things. They've all been done. Now they just need people to repair the stuff, and they got robots to do that. So we're obsolete. They're laughing at us because they see the position we're in. And, you know, I don't know how else to put it. You know, doesn't anybody think, remember when Russia the Soviet Union collapsed, what was it, 20 years ago? And then they put Putin in, and suddenly they're back as a world power again so quickly because we helped them. We assisted them. They're our ally. All this talk about Russians in our election, this is all a smoke screen. It's all a trick to get us, keeping us worried. Somebody might drop a bomb. What's going on with Kim in North Korea? It's all the same part of their narrative to keep us controlled and keep us overwhelmed and keep us unable to make a decision of what we're supposed to do here and somehow try to organize because it's too much.
Well, I want to thank you. I want to thank all of you. Because if anybody's listening today, you would get a definite message that people are walking around with some very deep thoughts every day. And we are quietly exasperated because we don't know what else to do. And we don't know that we could trust the people who we have entrusted with our futures before. They're not there. They're not functioning the way they ought to. So we are in a tough time. I think we can sneak things through, but the idea is to start things through. We'll find some way to see to ourselves and to come through this. Stay tuned. Coming up next, what in the cell is going on? That's what I want to know. We'll see each other tomorrow. Thanks so much for listening today and contributing today.